Hey, before we get started today, we've been in this series about healthy marriages, dating, relationships. We've talked about four lies that destroy marriages. We've talked about forgiveness, which is key in every relationship. We talked last week about how to forgive yourself. Today, we're going to talk about a subject that some of you might think you can check out on, but you can't. You can think it doesn't apply, but it does. And before we start, would you just pray? And also, listen, if you are at home and you want to know how do you give at Crossroads, we're not passing buckets here. We've got a black box. You can drop your offering as you leave in the yellow buckets with your communication card if you're home or if you're here. There's many ways to give online. You can go to our website. It'll show you how to give. You can give through your bank. Thank you for investing in people because lives are being changed. And every dime that comes into Crossroads goes towards people in this community, in this church, in the world, to point them to Christ. So let's just thank him and pray before we get started. God, thank you so much for today, for your truth, for the privilege that we have of worship, the privilege that we have of your word that is truth. God, there's nothing better than you. Your ways are higher than our ways. And God, I pray today that we hear your wisdom, your truth, and that, God, we adjust our lives to it because you love us more than life itself. We say thanks. We give you the praise in your name. Amen. Listen, during this series, I've been praying that you would apply what happens, that I would apply what happens, that this whole forgiveness thing, that we would apply it, that your relationships would be healthier, that your marriages would be healthier. For you that are dating, listen, I pray that your dating life will get healthier. For some of you, I've been praying that you'll break up, those of you that are dating. For some of you, I've been praying that you would have a new mindset and maybe step back from dating until you get this figured out. For some of you, I pray that you get marital help because you need it. And that's not a weakness to say we need help. It's a strength. And if you would take out your message outlines, you can follow along. But the reason that some of you that are dating might need to break up with a person that you're dating, fill this in, is because you can't marry the right person if you're dating the wrong person. Can I just tell you that? You can't marry the right person if you're dating the wrong person. If they're not marriage material, they're not dating material. I used to tell my daughter and my son that all the time. If you're already married and you're thinking you can check out because we're going to talk some about dating today, you'd be a mistake to check out. Because you know what? What we're talking about today also affects marriages in many ways. It's going to affect your kids when they date. If they're already dating, it affects them. If you've got grandkids, it's going to affect them. I'm just telling you, there's great wisdom here no matter what your marital status is. And for those of you that just think, I don't know, please, please, please don't check out. Think about this. Back in the day, for those of us that are more mature, dating was way different. Can we just do that? Like I met my wife in a quick ride home. She picked me up. No joke. She picked me up. I was in the Air Force. Yep, she took me. It was literally less than a minute car ride from where she picked up where I had to get off. But in that minute, I was strategic. I found out where she worked, and I stalked her from that next day on. So that's a whole different deal, right? But back then, listen, I know today, I don't know all of what goes on today, but I read enough, right? Like today, like what do you do? Like, do you slip into their DMs and like, you know, haunt them? Or are you up? What do you do? Like, do you swipe, swipe, swipe until you get the right one? Do you go on a dating app, right? Do you meet someone online? You start talking, listen, I can be anything I want online. Just saying, I'm glad I didn't date then. I'd have been like, okay, anyway. Do you go on Christian Mingle? Because that way, you know, you kind of have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in there, right? Like that, anyway. Do you walk up to someone and say, hey, you're a 9 out of a 10, and I'm the one that you're missing? I mean, that could be a deal, right? See, I'm just, yeah, you're with me. I'm glad you're joining me on this journey today. But seriously, a question that I hear often is, from people that are legit, like, how do I know if they're the right person? How do I find the right person? Like all the good ones seem to be taken. Whatever the line is, right? What I want to suggest is maybe you're asking the wrong question. Instead of asking, how do I find the right person? Can I tell you and challenge you? What you need to be asking is, how do I become the right person? God, how do I become the person that you want me to be? How do you begin to work in my life so I become the right person? Because you're going to find out when you become the person that God wants you to be, you're going to be way more attractive to the person that you really want to be attracted to. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. So fill this in if you're taking notes. You don't typically attract what you want. You attract what you are. That could be good or bad, right? That might sound a little bit harsh. But you don't attract what you're looking for, per se. You often attract what you are. In fact, it reminds me of a story that's all too common. And oftentimes you'll hear stories of kids that were raised in a Christian home, very strict, whatever the case was, and they're very sheltered, they're very protected, and then they go off to college and they run wild. And there's a story of a young girl that was kind of her story. She got sucked in when she went to college into the party life because she went from almost total control to almost total freedom. And we could write that story many times just around this room or online today. And so she was doing the party thing. She was, you know, being very socially active, if you will, and all those things. And she came home one day and she told her mom, "Mom, I'm really excited. I think I met him. Like, let me tell you about this boy. He's so cute and he loves Jesus. He's a spiritual leader. I ran into him. He's in all kinds of things on the college campus like that." But the mom knew what the girl was doing, and she's like, she's hearing it. "This is the guy I think I want to marry." And this mom looked at her daughter. Maybe what you might seem as a harsh way, but she did it in a very truthful way. And she said, "Sweetheart, you need to understand that the guy that you're describing is probably not looking for a girl like you." In other words, you don't attract who you want. You often attract who you are. And what she was telling her daughter is, your heart might be right, but your behavior is so off doing something else that that type of a gentleman is not going to be interested in you in this season. I like the way Andy Stanley said it, and this is on your notes, a quote, "A good goal would be to become the type of person the person you're looking for is looking for." Isn't that good? To become the type of person the person that you're looking for is looking for. In other words, there's certain qualities. Instead of me looking for the right person, God, how do I become the right person? That's really what he's saying. And when it comes to relationships, that is so, so important. How do you do that? Because, listen, we've all heard the things, right? Like, you might have grown up and you had a youth pastor say, "Don't ever date, you should court," because dating isn't in the Bible. Okay. And then you have somebody else tell you, you know, something different than that. They're like, "Yeah, you know what? Just really, you know, try to really get to know them. Then you could watch The Bachelor on TV." Right? Listen, you don't think that influences people? Listen, you can have all these beauties come in, right? You can have all these wonderful-looking guys come in, and you can date five or make out with five, fall in love with two, and then just give one the rose. Like, what? Yeah, and then 3 months later, they're not even talking to each other, right? I mean, that's a thing. And people are watching that, and young people are watching that, and like, "Oh, that is so wonderful. Look at that. You have so many choices. Wait, wasn't she just making out with him? Now she's making out with him. And then this guy, and then this guy, and then I got to narrow it down to two. And then, oh, I don't know which one. And then, okay, here's the rose." What? I'm glad I didn't date back then. And then you know what? Someone says, "Just follow your heart." That's popular today. Just follow your heart. And I'm like, "No, don't follow your heart." Man, I could tell you stories about people following their heart. Some of you could tell those stories, right? You follow your heart, it'll take you crazy places. You can't trust your heart. The Bible says your heart is deceitful. It'll lie to you. So what do you do? Well, I want to talk to you about three truths today that I believe are going to change your life, that'll change your dating life. And my challenge is this. Why wouldn't we, instead of Do you go to a dating app? Do you listen to this person, this person? Do you follow your heart? Do you watch The Bachelor, The Bachelorette? What do you do? What if we go to the one who created relationships, the one that created marriage, that it was his design, that created you and created me, and say, God, what is it that you say about this stuff? So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is where we're going to start. And this chapter is all about relationships. And Paul, actually, in this passage, one of the things he says that's going to perk your ears, so stay with me. Don't just tune this out right away. But Paul actually says, being married is not your purpose in life. Being married is not my purpose in life. In other words, that shouldn't be the goal, the end all be all. Right? Like some people feel like my life is just a shell of what it could be if I'm not married. Sometimes they feel like second-class citizens if you're not married. It's like that's my ultimate goal. And Paul comes along and says, listen, not only is it not God's goal necessarily, it could actually be a blessing to be single. Which if you're single, you might say, oh, cool, I'll take that. If you're married, you say, yeah, I'm thinking about that. That's a whole different deal. All right? You pick them. All right? Anyway, and you'll find out that the Apostle Paul, who writes this, who wrote much of the New Testament, was not married. He was not married. John the Baptist, not married. Jesus, who was Jesus, did not get married. So that's not the end-all, be-all. You're not a whole person if you don't get married. And so God's biggest dream for you and God's biggest dream for me is not necessarily to be married. Now, we're going somewhere. Look at verse 7 through 8. Paul says this, I wish that all of you were as I am. He was unmarried. But each of you has your own gift from God. Now he's talking about a gift. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and to the widows, I say it's good for them to stay unmarried as I do. Essentially, Paul was saying singleness can be a gift. Now some of you that are single would be like, I'd like to trade in my gift. Like, is there a gift receipt with this gift? Like, I'd kind of like to give that back. That's not what I want. But he goes on to say this in verse 35. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way. Get this. Here's the key. In undivided devotion to the Lord. Your purpose isn't to be married. Our purpose for everybody is an undivided devotion to our Lord and Savior. Highest priority of all, whether you're married or single. So our purpose in life, if you're taking notes, is to live with undivided devotion to Jesus. That's your purpose. That's my purpose. You want to know what your purpose is in life? There you go. It's to live with an undivided devotion to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who gave his life for you. Now, I want to share with you three qualities in Scripture that you need before you get married. All right? Number one, if you're taking notes, what we want, and again, we're basing it on what God's goal for us is, a devotion to him. We want to become secure in Christ. Instead of looking for the right person, right, we're going to try to become the right person. And the right person is someone that's secure in Christ. You know who you are in his sight. You're not listening to the world tell you what you are. You're not looking in the mirror deciding who you are. You're secure in Christ. You know because you've read God's word, what he says about you, what he thinks about you, that you are worth dying for, that you are a one-of-a-kind unique masterpiece. He didn't make any junk. He didn't make any mistakes. You are uniquely you. Nobody is like you. And when you are secure in Christ, you've got what you need to be the person that God wants you to become. That puts you in the best spot. If you want to end up, go ahead and fill this in. If you want to end up married and happy, you need to start single and secure. If you want to one day be married and happy, you got to start by being single and secure. You got to be secure in who you are, and you'll never be secure who you are in you if you're watching The Bachelor, if you're watching TV, if you're listening to all the ads that say you need to dress like this and wear this kind of makeup and wear these kind of shoes and drive this kind of car. Listen, that you're chasing the wind. You need to know who you are in Christ. And this is so, so important. Anybody here ever dated an insecure person? Just kind of do this. An insecure person. Can I tell you about insecure people? You want to know if someone's insecure? My wife's going to laugh at this because I do this every day. Do you like me? I mean, do you really like me? Do you love me? An insecure person's going to ask you all the time, "No, really, do you like me? Do you love me? Like, if you did, then why didn't you answer? I texted you like 13 seconds ago and you didn't respond." Right? That's an insecure person. What are you looking at on your phone? Who are you calling? Who'd you talk to today? All that, that's insecure. That's not the type of person you want to be around. Fill this in if you're taking notes. Insecure people need more and they settle for less. Insecure people, they need more. They're very needy and they'll settle for less. They so much want you to like them, but they're insecure. They're not secure in Christ. They're insecure. That's why they, do you like me? Do you love me? What about this? Who are you talking to? Let me see what you wrote down. They're looking over your shoulder. What about? They're insecure, and they end up settling for who's ever available because they need someone in their life so bad, they'll kind of take whatever. In fact, I'll show you some famous love quotes, or I'll share some with you from movies. This is just to illustrate a point. Of course, if you're talking love quotes, you got to talk about The Notebook, right? For those of you that know The Notebook. You got this guy, Noah, right, that's famous for this line. I had to write it down so I make sure I don't blow it. But Noah says this. Listen, is this not a guy line to a girl or what? No matter what happens to us, every day with you is the best day of my life. Oh. That's a Hallmark card, isn't it? Oh, Noah, you make the rest of us look like garbage. It's one of the things I say to Debbie every day. That was a lie. Anyway. Then there's a famous quote from the Titanic, and this is powerful. If you just picture your mind watching the Titanic again, right, and you've got this quote where Rose says to Jack, they're in frigid, freezing waters in the ocean. They're desperately hanging on to a piece of wood that's floating in the water. And she looks to Jack and she says, I'll never let you go. I promise. And then she lets him go. And I'm watching that movie saying, there was a room enough for both of you on that piece of wood. And you watch his face drift down deeper in the water. She just promised, I'll never let you go. Oh, isn't that fun? And then there's one more that I'll share with you from Tom Cruise, from Jerry Maguire. We're going way back. And he looks at Renee Zellweger and he says, you complete me. That's what I need. You are what I need in my life. Which all sounds good on a Hallmark card. But can I say this? And this might be a shock to you. Marriage does not complete you. If you feel incomplete without a spouse, then you're insecure. You're not secure in Christ. If you're secure in Christ, he's who completes you. If, don't take my word. Look at 2 Corinthians, Colossians, the second chapter, verse 9 and 10. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, and you have been made complete in Christ. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been made complete in him. It's not another person that will complete you. You're not half a person if you're not married. You're less than a full person if you don't have Christ. But you know the problem is? We live in a world where we hear counter-godly messages all the time that go against God's word. The predominant culture message is what? You can't be happy without finding your soulmate. That's a buzzword now. Oh, I think you're my soulmate. You just don't know him yet. You just don't know her yet, right? No, you need Christ. But oftentimes, even in church, you kind of get a message that if you're not married, you're incomplete. If you're not married, you're less than. What's wrong with you? Why can't you get a man? Why can't you get a girl, right? I mean, and then the devil will whisper to you, right? What's wrong with you? You think that helps your security, or does it feed your insecurity? It feeds your insecurity. That's what I was thinking. Like, what's wrong with me? Why do all my friends have somebody? Trust me, a lot of them wish they didn't have somebody. Don't raise your hands. Can I tell you something? You don't have to compromise your values and your standards to settle for less than God would have you to have. You don't have to trade your body for somebody to tell you that they love you. You following me? To take a quote from the famous theologian Beyonce. If you liked it, you should have put a ring on it. Right? Oh, what a day this is. Listen, but think about that. If you believe that lie, then you think I'm a half person looking for another half person to make me a whole person. That's not God's way. You're full in Christ, whether you're single or you're married. It's not looking for the right person. It's becoming the right person. So step number one is secure in Christ. That's one of the qualities I need before I'm married. That's one of the qualities I need in my marriage. Number two, second quality. Some of you guys, hey, you missed a flight. Okay, I got you. Caught myself. We talked about insecure people. Secure people need less and expect more. They need less, but they expect more. You say, gee whiz, I've got high standards. Well, good for you. You should. You should. And if you're a follower of Christ, you should have high standards. You shouldn't push your standards to the side and think, I've just got to settle. No, that's what insecure people. You're secure enough to say, listen, if you're not on the same page that I'm on, if you're not secure in Christ like I'm secure in Christ, listen, you're not marriage material, so you're not dating material. I'm not trading my body to have you tell me you love me because I know who loves me. You follow me? You ever looked? I know guys do this. I can't speak for you as much as I can a guy. I've caught myself saying this many times. I did this before I was a Christian, even as a Christian, I did that. I'd look at some girl and be with this guy, and I'm like, how in the world did he ever get her? And I used to think it's because of how he looked or his physique or whatever, and for some of you, maybe that's how shallow it was. But then as I got into a more Christian circle and more Christian friends, I found out that it was because they were secure in Christ, because they knew who they were. There was something about them because they were a complete person that was attractive to this other person because of the qualities that they were trying to build in their life they saw in this other person. It's not all about what you see on the outside, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Now, what I found out what men will do to each other, like, dude, how'd you get her? Like, you married way out of your league. I know I did. But people will say that. Girls, it doesn't work the same way for you. Like, I've never heard one lady go up to another lady and say, man, how does a scrawny leg girl like you get a guy like that? I've never heard a girl do that. Now, maybe you do it and I just don't hear it because you do it behind us. But anyway, it's the same thing. People that are secure and people that are secure in Christ, they're attracted to the same thing in other people. And so sometimes, regardless of what the outside looks like, if you're secure in Christ, you need to expect more. Your standards go up. They don't go down. You don't settle. We want to be secure in Christ. The second thing is, with God's help, we want to be strong in character. We want to be strong in character. You know what it means to be strong in character? People that have strong character are the same person in the dark as they are in the light. When no one's around, their values and who they are in Christ still shines forth. They don't do things behind the scenes they wouldn't do up front. Okay? People that don't have that strong character will do things like this, you know, and I've heard this. People that aren't married, I've heard people say, I'm just kind of sowing my wild oats right now. Like, when I get married one day, I'll settle down. I'll do things way different. But right now, I'm just kind of doing what I want, when I want, with who I want. It's kind of party time. That shows your character. If you have a Christian person, they're talking like that, that's a sign of some bad character, right? Listen, fill this in if you're taking notes. You don't build a life of righteousness on a foundation of sin. You don't build a life of righteousness on a foundation of sin. You don't say, listen, no one's watching right now. I'm not married. I'm going to do what I want. But when I get married, I'm going to change. That's a flaw in your character. That's a crazy thing to say. Look at 1 Timothy 4:12. If you want to grow in character, grow in these five traits. This is amazing stuff. If you want to know, even as an individual, you're married, you're not married, you hope to be married, whatever the case is, here's five characteristics, five traits you should be working on in your life. It says, set an example for believers in speech, that's my words, in conduct, how I act, in love, how I treat people, in faith, right? What's my faith in and how do I live that out, and in purity. Do you know whatever comes out of your mouth is a reflection of your heart? There's a verse that says the mouth is a spout where the stuff in the heart comes out. That's really what he's saying. You run a four-way stop in front of somebody and they cuss you out, that's an indicator of what's in their heart. You hear somebody behind closed doors or when they think no one else is listening or they're talking to their gossipy friends, that's what they're filled with. You joshle a bucket that's filled with whatever it's filled with. If you joshle it and spill it out, you know what's coming out of that bucket? Whatever it's been filled with. Same with us. How do you treat people? How are your words? If we recorded your words every day, what would your words say about you and your character? If how you love people, if it was recorded 24 hours a day, what would that really say? Would it match what you say? Would your walk and your talk match? What about your faith? Do you really trust God above all things? Does it show in what you do every day? Does it show in what you do with your time? Does it show in what you do with your talent? Does it show what you do with the money that comes into your hands? Talk is easy, right? Character is real. It's genuine. And he says also in your purity. I've heard people that say, I kind of think I have a lust problem. But I'm single. It's okay. When I get married, I won't have a lust problem. Yeah, you will. You'll be a married person with a lust problem. Doesn't go away because of your marital status. That's a heart issue. That's an insecure issue. If you want to marry someone with a strong character, then you need to develop into a person with strong character. Again, we don't attract what we want. We often attract what we are. So what are we going to do? We're going to say, God, I want you to do a work in me. With your help, God, I want to become secure in you. With your help, God, guess what? I want to develop these traits that will give me a strong character. Because I know I'm not going to attract who I want. I attract who I am. And so I want you to work in me. And then number three, this is huge. Another quality you need before marriage is planted in community. Planted in community. If you want a relationship that's strong and God-honoring, you can't do that in a vacuum. The people that you put around you, the people that you do life with the closest are so, so important. That's your community, your closest friends, your closest friendships. That's your community. People sometimes ask me, what do you think about my relationship with him? What do you think about my relationship with her? You know what I do? I try to notice who the friends are they hang with. You know why? Because if you show me who you hang with, I'm going to show you the trajectory of your marriage or your relationship. It's so clear. Is it 100%? No, but it's darn close to 100%. When someone gets married, you know what I do? I'm looking at who their bridesmaids is, their best man, and the people in their wedding. You know why? Because that's a good indicator of where their marriage is going. You tell me what you did at your bachelor or bachelorette party, I'm going to tell you a lot about where your marriage is headed. You say, hey, man, we got wasted. We went to the strip club. I'm like, uh-oh. We pray together. We open up God's word together. We worship together. There's a difference. Do you see it? We think we can do these things and it just doesn't affect things. It affects everything. Your friends affect everything. Fill this in if you're taking notes. The strength of your community will shape the quality of your marriage. The strength of the people around you, your community, will shape the quality of your marriage, where it's going, what it's going to be like, what it's going to look like. My mama used to say, Mom, but I don't do what they do. And she said, you're known by the company you keep. You heard that too. It's true. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Proverbs, the book of wisdom, Proverbs 13:20 says it this way: if you walk with the wise, you become wise. But a companion of fools suffer harm. You know what I found out? When I became a follower of Christ at 22 years old, I'd just gotten out of the Air Force. The people that I worked with in the engineering and the contractors that built the stuff that we designed, I didn't see many great marriages. Matter of fact, I heard stories, and oftentimes you're traveling, you're on the road, and the things that I saw people do, I just kind of scratched my head and said, that's not what I want in my marriage. Fortunately, I gave my life to Christ there on a golf course, and our closest friends became the pastor that led me to Christ and his wife. And then we got involved in a small country little church, and there were several couples, but a couple other couples in there that really became close to us. They were older than us a little bit. They had solid marriages. They were secure in Christ. They had godly character, and they were planted in community, and they kind of adopted us into their community. I worked then with a guy that was an older gentleman that was solid, solid, solid. His name was Melvin. His wife's name was Aldine. We spent hours and hours and hours with these people. And because of that, little did I know, God was preparing us to have a stronger marriage than we would have ever had if we had hung with the people that we were hanging with in the Air Force. I look back now and I'm like, man, God takes care of widows and fools, so we had a half a chance. But seriously, I look back on that. We've been married, it'll be 41 years this December, and I'm telling you, the trajectory that we were on before I gave my life to Christ, I have no doubt to tell you that we'd have been divorced in less than 10 years. I was all about Scott Winstead. I was all about sports. I was all about my buddies. I was all about doing what I wanted to do. And Debbie, you know, I took advantage of the fact that she'd be there when I got home, or at least I thought so. It was horrible. But we both gave our lives to Christ, and we built this community around us, and they kind of adopted us in. We didn't even know what we were getting. But I'm telling you, ask her, you ask me today, there's no doubt about that, that that's set a foundation for us that we're still building on almost 41 years later. And listen, it's no different for you. Some of you may need to do a serious evaluation of who you're spending the most time with and say, is that what you want? You don't have to go up to them and say, sorry, you didn't make the list anymore. Right? I hope not. But can you imagine if instead of those three or four couples that were that, one of the couples were addicts, the other couple both cheated on each other? Would we be in the same place? I don't believe so. The bottom line is, in many ways, that it's not about finding the right person as much as it's about becoming the right person. Surround yourself with the right people. Spend time with the right people. Spend time with people that are secure in Christ, that have godly character, that have God's values that they're building their lives around, that they're raising their kids around, that they're raising their calendar around. Those folks, listen, church wasn't an option for them. It was a priority weekly. We ran into those folks, and we did life together every single week. We did things together during the week. It was solid, solid, solid. And because of the strength of our community, it's impacted the quality of our marriage. So what do you want to do? Let's not just look at them and look for him or look for her. I got to find the right person. No, God, make me the right person from the inside out. Because you see, I want to be secure in Christ. I want you to be secure in Christ. I want you to know very deeply what he thinks about you, what he says about you, what he sees when he sees you, who you are in Christ, not what the world says, not what you say when you look in the mirror. I want to be strong in character. I want to be a person that doesn't just talk it, but my walk and my talk matches. because I believe God's way is better than my way. But sometimes I don't choose choices that way. You know what I'm saying? So I want to be a person of character, and I want to be planted in a strong Christian community. I'm doing life with people that are headed the same way, and they're strong in character. And these three qualities matter more than you can imagine. They matter more than you can imagine. Those of you that are married, we're talking about dating, but what about married people? You want to be married to somebody that's secure in Christ. You want to be married to someone that's strong in character. You want to be married to someone who values and understands the power of community. So hopefully you're working on that together. Hopefully you can have conversations. You can get help if you need help. Your answer is not trading them in for someone else. It's you becoming the person you want, and you'd be amazed at what happens when you become all that God wanted you to be, and the only person you can effectively change is you. But you being you, and secure in Christ, and strong in character, and connected in community, can certainly spill over and impact someone else. And if you're dating, don't settle. Don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do, who their friends are. Don't buy the lines. You ever heard, girls are real famous for this, you just don't know him like I do. And some of them are saying, no, you just don't know him like we do. Right? Just for the record, I'm glad my wife didn't listen to all of my friends. But you know what the real goal is? Especially if you're dating. The best thing I can tell you is to walk towards Jesus. Be secure in Him. Strong in character in Him. And as you're walking towards Jesus, as you're making His values your values, and you're worshiping Him consistently, you're using your time and your talent and your treasures for His honor and for His glory. He truly is number one. Not you don't say it, but your lifestyle actually backs it up. As you're walking towards Jesus and doing all those things, you might look to your right or look to your left, and you see him or you see a her, and they're also walking to Jesus, and they're also secure in Christ. You're getting to know them, and they're strong in character, and you say, hey, listen, this is a great one. He said he'll go to church with me. He's already in. He's not doing something for you. That's who he is. It's his character. So when you find someone that what they say matches up with their lifestyle, not that something they're going to do for you, but something they've already been doing, it's somebody going the same direction. You look to your right, you look to your left, and they're going the same direction. They've got some of the same qualities, and you're taking it slow, and they're not trying to get you to trade your body for love because you're secure. You don't need that. And then you notice that they're kind of cute too, and don't let somebody tell you that cuteness isn't cool. Because listen, if you can have somebody walking with you, secure in Christ, strong in character, strong in community, and they're cute, listen, you're going to need that cuteness. Because one day, they're going to make you madder than heck. And you're going to look at them and say, listen, at least you're cute. Right? You got that? I'll give you that. And you walk towards him together. That's what God wants for you. That's why these three qualities are so important. And if you're already married, listen, you become the person you want. If you're not married yet, do that. Make that your priority. Not finding your soulmate. You becoming the person God wants you to become. So that you, then as you're walking towards Christ, I don't need somebody to fulfill me. I'm fulfilled in Christ. But then when I find that person that's going the same direction, and it's been traveling this direction for a while. We look at each other. We date each other appropriately. And we say, what is it that God might want to do in you and I together? Better than we could do it apart. That's the recipe. I have no doubt looking back. The sad thing is my wife, neither of us were believers. God takes care of widows and fools. Did I tell you that? But but I believe God knew what we didn't know. And I wouldn't say that even after almost 41 years that my wife completes me. But God has certainly used two of us together to be better than one of us would be separately. God's way works. The world's way doesn't. You can do it God's way, or you can do the bachelor or the bachelorette. See how it goes. Would you bow your heads with me? God, I thank you and praise you for today, for your love for us, for your word, for the power that it possesses. God, here we are thousands of years after this was written, but it's just like you've got a camera in our house. God, if we don't see it in our lives, we've had multiple times today where we've seen examples in the lives around us. We've heard the stories, we've seen the stories. Some of us, God, have lived those stories. And we've wondered, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get someone like that? It often starts with me becoming the type of person that I want to look for. So God, I pray for those that are married, for those that are in strong marriages, those that are in struggling marriages, that they would take the appropriate steps to either get help, to begin doing work in their own heart and life, to become the person that they're looking for, that they would realize the priority of walking together, getting help together, worshiping together, the power of character, the power of community, that it's so, so important. And God, it's difficult to do. It's next to impossible from a distance. We need shoulder to shoulder, voice to voice, face to face. For those that are dating, God, I pray that they trust you in your way, that they follow your way, that they make a vow to become the person that you want them to become, secure in you, strong in character, grounded in solid community of friends and relationships. Listen, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, can I tell you, more important than anything else, you need him. You need to receive him as Savior and Lord of your life. He will forgive you of all that you've ever done wrong, no matter how ugly it was. He'll adopt you into his family. He'll cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. He'll take up residence in your heart through his Spirit. And then you have everything because you're complete in him. Now you begin to grow and mature and do life his way. Begin to erase some of the yuck that happens in our minds from living in this world and what we see and hear that's not true, and we start to embrace your truth. And God, when we become the person you'd have us to be, we're secure, and our character is solid, and our community of friends is solid. Then God, as we walk to Jesus, we'll look to the right or left, and eventually we're going to find someone going the same direction that's been on that path, already doing, not a project, but someone that's already doing that as a lifestyle. But if you've never given your heart to Jesus, that's your first step. Right wherever you're seated or wherever you're at home, make this your prayer. Say, God, I'm not perfect. I admit it. I'm a sinner. I turn from my sin. I turn to you in faith. Jesus, save me. Forgive me. Take up residence in me. And from this day forward, I belong to you. And I'm going to begin to live like I know you. And I'm going to trust you instead of trusting me in the world. And I'm going to hold values that your word teaches. And I say thanks. We give you all the praise in his name. Amen.